Today I'm joined, in fact, by Bas Devos, director of Violet here for Torino 32. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Bas, actually, I'm not going to lie, because I've seen a few of the competition section, and so far your film is my favorite. And I'm not really the type, you know, that usually goes, and every single guest that comes, okay, is going to be my favorite. So I just want to hear from you why maybe it's my favorite, and also your process of making this film, how it all started.
Well, that's interesting. If I have to look inside your head and imagine why it's your favorite film. I don't know. Probably it touched you in some way.
Why? So let's get the outline then.
Okay. So, the process of making this film. I'm from Belgium, and basically, I think we are very privileged in the way we make film because we are often state funded. There are, of course, commercial films that don't need state funding and that find private financing. But for my film, it was not the case. It was not a commercial film, so I basically just apply for funding and. I started this film already quite some years ago. It's a boring and long process to make a film, even if you can apply for funds. So I think I had this vague image in my head, I think even for the last 4 years or something, of a boy completely alone in a street. And it was such a simple image, and I couldn't really place it, and it probably... It's a very nostalgic image. It's an image that I remember in a way, because I was thinking a lot about youth, young kids, and I was often thinking about the times I spend with my friends. But then I also thought about these really boring moments or empty moments when you know you go and play football when you're 14 and then you walk home and you walk home alone. And this is something that interested me, just like a young guy completely alone. And then basically the film started growing around this basic idea, like this, the isolation of a young kid and the closed world that a person really is. And so I started looking for a narrative that somehow would reinforce this, make it visible, mm-hmm. clear. And the process of grieving, because the film is about grief, it's a young boy who witnesses his best friend being stabbed. It's a very both public and private process at the same time. People know that you are grieving; they see it, and at the same time, they cannot reach you entirely. And so, it's a very attractive, theme because it. I don't know, there is a lot in it. There is some universal.
Definitely.
We always say this about whatever, but. There is something to it because I think in life this is what we do. We say goodbye to things all the time. Did I answer your question?
You answered perfectly. Also, because my question was a bit muddled, and so I don't really know what I asked you. But at least we kind of outlined the film, and that's fantastic actually to hear that the whole kind of genesis of the film started from an image. Because what really struck me from the film was actually how potent, visually speaking, is. It's an incredibly difficult film to make. The fact that actually form and what we see in the image, visuals, is essential for the narrative of the film. The dialogue side is almost secondary. So we have, as you said, this sort of constant tension between expressing the grief and not expressing it. And it's all given by the order of frames that you chose along with the editor. And I just imagine it an incredibly long process. I just imagine actually sketching on a storyboard each single frame. So I'd like also to hear how you made it along with the cinematographer and director. Let's cite them. Sorry, Nicholas Karakatsanis for the cinematography and Dieter Diependele for the editing.
Yeah, it's funny that you say. I mean, I'm not going to pretend it was not a long. It is a long process because there is so much time that you're actually waiting, and these waiting periods when you're just waiting for funding or for money, they actually help. I mean, if it was in a perfect world, I would shoot tomorrow my next film, but it doesn't work like that. So there's always this space, mm-hmm. and you ruminate and you overthink again, and so in the waiting, a lot of things get more and more final in your head, they become simpler and simpler. Like a first version of the script was much more full in a narrative mm-hmm. way. And I always felt like in time it will become more and more pure. And so I basically threw out all the shit that I didn't want to film. Because it starts with the simple idea. What is it that I want to film? Where do I want to aim a camera at? What is appealing to me? Mm-hmm. And if it appeals to me and to the people making the film, I always believe that there will be something appealing to the audience as well. And then I'm speaking on the surface level, on the aesthetic level. But speaking about the visual style of the film, there are of course some shots that are really thought of well ahead because they were technically quite demanding. But most of the film we didn't prepare at all. It's something that I actually learned from Nicola Caracazzanis, who is the DOP and with whom I worked on short films before. So he's a close friend of mine, which also helps. There is easy communication. I think we really share a language. Mm-hmm. So he just said, like, yeah, we can trust ourselves. And we can trust ourselves also to look with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. If you overanalyze everything in advance, the movie is made, and then why make it? You know, it's finished in my head. So you need to find room and space to reinvent and to see things for the first time.
Yeah, the thing also, the great thing about this film is also how it constantly misleads the audience. You kind of think that there's a very definite path that we're going to choose, and you know the kind of rigor of the look on the film, but then there's always a sort of half a second longer take on the editing that makes the audience constantly be like, hold on a second, where are we going to go now? Is that what's going to happen, or do I fear that this will happen? So in fact, that's why I also cited the editing. It was very, I think, a very fine line between success and unsuccess of the actual, you know, narrative tension of the film. So it was a long process as well in the editing suite. Do I imagine you like fighting over between which shoot to take, or take off or take in?
No, there was no fight. Because again, I try to, this is the only advice I can give to anybody making a film. You need to work with people that you like.
That you
really like. Avoid fighting. You have to be on the same side. You have to trust people to see and feel where you want this thing to go. And then it also becomes a process of a group of people. I mean, the credits of my film try to literally visualize that this is not a film made by me. I mean, of course, I am the only one who goes the whole journey, but there are so many people involved in even technical jobs that are actually creative jobs because they create something in this scene. So me and Dieter, we basically worked for 2 months in which is not too long.
Not long at all.
Normally, but it has a lot to do with how the film is shot. Of course, you have not so many shots, so it's not about getting shots in a scene and cutting to a close up and back. It's always where do we open the scene, where do we end the scene. It becomes a work of tempo, of mm-hmm. pace. And when I say 2 months, I mean 2 months, but stretched out over a period of 6 months. So where we just, from time to time, almost sat down together and looked at it. And this is a very pleasant way of working, because very slowly you feel the film growing. The first cut, you go, what? Because you literally put in everything, from action to cut. You put everything in it, and you go like, oh my God, this is terrible. It's so boring. I'm never going to make it. But then very slowly you start to model time, and, mm-hmm. and very slowly you sense that time is progressing in the correct way, the way that is appealing and that creates tension, and at the same time also allows calm into the film. I think it's a relatively calming film, though some people really are at the edge of their seat. Other people can really lay back and go into an almost like meditative mode. And this is something I appreciate a lot, that it's a calming film.
And I appreciate it too. And also, I'm very glad that you mentioned the credits, because I thought they were genius as well. So if you make genius credits, that's already a big plus. And also credits for you, because you made me like a song by Deathwish, which didn't happen for a long time. So thank you very much, Buzz. Thank you for being with
us. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.